Hebrews 10. So we looking at wells without water. Amen. Hebrews 10 verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Says not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as some would do, but rather what we should do is to exhort one another, that is to instruct, to comfort, to fellowship one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. So interesting, we've said before that God's plan for the believer is to always dwell in his house. We see that from Israel. Moses had to build a tabernacle. Not because God was not talking to them. God was talking to them. He led them out of Egypt before the tabernacle. He led them out of, led them through the sea, through the wilderness, before the tabernacle. But God's plan has always been to dwell in and among his people. God's plan, like the song we sang, has always been to stay in his house. Say his house. Alright, so, and he exhorts believers to also do the same. Bible says he sets the solitary in families, the lonely, Psalm 68 verse 6. He puts the lonely in families so that you may know that he's the righteous God. And so, what is God's plan for you and I? It's to stay in his house. The church is the union of God and man. He is the head, we are the body. Say we are the body. Alright, so he is the head, we are the body. And if we are the body, that means we are joined with him. Paul explains that in Ephesians 1, from the Pauline prayers from verse 16 to 23, and then you see in Ephesians 2 and 3. Amen. Say we are his body. So God's plan has always been for the believer to be in God's house. Our journey of faith is in that house. Are you listening to me? God never made any believer to walk alone. I know there's a football club that says you never walk alone. And I used to think that was cute. You never walk alone, you never walk alone. Until one of their players that they like now left. Now left without giving the club any money, so they didn't get a transfer fee. And they started booing him. And started abusing him, calling him rats. And I said, you never walk alone. He's already walking alone. Amen. And it shows you no matter the promise of man, God is the only one that can tell you, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. God and Arsenal Football Club. You know, there's something about Arsenal fans. We are loyalists. Too much suffering and we still stayed. If you married an Arsenal fan, you can't put your mind at rest. It's not going anywhere. Amen. Because we suffer much and we are here. Still standing. Netflix. We go again. Hallelujah. So, God's plan has never been for any believer to walk alone. I've seen people who say, you know, I just don't enjoy going to churches. I just want to serve God on my own. I can worship Jesus on my own. You know, I'll pray on my own and all of that. Let's see how long that lasts. Because what your growth is put in the church. Your nourishing is put in the church. Jesus did that himself. Are you listening to me? Jesus did that himself. Ephesians chapter 4. He never made anyone to walk alone. To do it themselves. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 8. Wherefore he says, when he ascended up on high, he's talking about Jesus. He led the captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lowest part of the earth. So he's saying, before he ascended, he descended. He died. He that descended is the same that also ascended far above all heavens, that he might feel all things. Don't forget, it's a single letter. So when he said he might feel all things, what did he tell you he filled? The church in chapter 1, right? Ephesians 1. Verse 22 says, he has put all things under his feet. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church, as I said the other time, that we are his body, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. So you see, God's fullness is because he fills us. Amen. So when he says he fills all in all, he was talking about the church with his body. Then he now tells you in chapter 4 that he ascended, verse 10, he that ascended is the same that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill the church. Is it making sense? That he might fill all things. Then he tells you how he does it. He gave apostles. So one of the ways the church is full of Christ is that we see the emergence of ministry gifts. And we trust God in our local church and all our churches that we will start having emergence, multiplied emergence of ministry gifts. Amen. People will start taking responsibilities. Amen. And grace will be multiplied. He didn't say amen to that. Alright. So, one of the ways you see a spirit-filled church is the emergence of ministry gifts. So it says, this is how God fills his church. He gave unto some apostles. We're in verse what now? Verse 11. He gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Again, we have explained this before. Sometimes we have seen this as a fivefold ministry, fourfold ministry. The one that said for, he said pastors is his teacher and all of that. But I've explained it before. I can't remember the title of the teaching, but I think it's the church and the ministry gift, where we looked at, and the book of Ephesians. Where we look at the book of Ephesians too. We looked at how that the apostle, the prophets, they are functional, not nominal. Functional in the sense that it's not a title. It is what you do. So an apostle is not who you are, it's what you do. And say, I'm not an apostle, I'm a pastor. Really? You could be a pastor today and the next day you are an apostle. An apostle is apostolos in the Greek, which means to be sent out, the sent out one. The ones who were sent out. The disciples were so called apostles of Christ because he called them and he gave them an assignment. He gave them in Matthew 10, he gave them in Matthew 28, he gave them in Acts 1. So, because they were called for a purpose, then he sent them out. It's called apostle. Does it make sense? So apostle is, so imagine we call Brother Shey now and say, Brother, you know what? A certain church reached out to me to come and teach in a seminary in Kogi. I can't go, so you go and teach them for me. Right? Because we all know Brother Shey, he can teach, right? I'll say, am I meant to say yes? Alright, so when I send him out like that, that is an apostle from Glorious House Church. Does it make sense? When he comes back, he cannot say, Emi Apo. Is it making sense? You can't be an apostle among us. Who sent you? Say the Holy Ghost. No, an apostle is one we sent out from a local church. Is it making sense? All right. So can you see that it's a function, not a person? The same thing. Someone asked, they said, then the prophet is, of course, God listens to that teaching. We explained it for over 4 hours, 5 hours together. The church and the ministry gift. Quite exhaustive. Amen. Alright. So we said they are functional, not nominal. It's not a noun. It's not a title. It's who you, it's what you do. And that's why I say there's no permanent pastor. There are folks who pastored on campus, but who are no longer pastoring. When you now see them, you can't say pastor, you see. Sorry. Your name can't remember. Which name do I use now? Rachel. Rachel, sorry. So you can't say Pastor Rachel. Because she was pastoring in 300 level. And then they gave another person mama, I'll be papa, I'll be whatever, in the 400 level or 500 level. And then I say, you now see her 5 years later, when she's a member of a local church somewhere. You now went to the church, Pastor Rachel! She's not a pastor there. It shows you that pastoring is not who you are. It is what you do. Is it making sense? Good. So when it says, give some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, he's talking about the function in the body. Remember, he fills the body. He now tells you how he fills it. He fills it through the ministry gifts, and through the gifts of the Spirit. Alright. Making sense? Alright. Why did he give these roles? Verse 12. Why did Jesus do it? For the perfecting of the saints. That means the saints need to be perfected. For the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He says, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Now, the reason why he gave all these ministry gifts is not so that we can worship them with tithes and offerings. It's not so that we can honor them. Fine, honor is part of what we do. He gave them so that we can come into the unity of the faith. Verse 13. He explains the unity of the faith. Unity of the faith is not one day where Sele and Catholic and everybody now comes together and say, Jesus is Lord. That's not the unity of faith. The unity of the faith is what? The knowledge of the Son of God. till we all come into that knowledge of the Son of God. He calls that the faith is now united. So it's not about different denominations coming together. No, it's about the when we all now come to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the stature of the fullness of Christ. Is it making sense? Am I too fast? A bit? All right. I'll slow down. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. So, Jesus has something in mind. He says, he gave pastors and teachers and apostles and all of that, so that we are no longer children, tossed to and fro, by every wind of doctrine. So there is something in his mind. So he gave us pastors and ministry gifts, local church for growth. Say for the perfecting of the saints, for growth. For oversight. Beware of a Christian who does not have a pastor. I'm privileged to talk to folks who are not in our local church, on marriage, on the issues of marriage and all that. I tell, especially the ladies, be careful of a guy who does not have a pastor. He has no one that can call him to order. No one he listens to. Be careful. You're setting up a time bomb for yourself. Because we are placed in the church for oversight. Hebrews 13. Look at Hebrews 13. I learned something. The 7 says, remember them that have the rule over you. Huh? Nobody can talk to me. Nobody has the rule over me. You are late. It's already too late. So, the Bible says there are some that have the rule over you. Say rule. So say, no, the church is not meant to be like dictatorship. It's not meant to be like rule. No, it's exactly what they have the rule over you. So, oversight. Remember them that have the rule over you. Who have spoken unto you the word of God. Whose faith you follow. Considering the end of their lifestyle. The word conversation. Is their life, their behavior, their mode of living, their way of living. So that means, I am a perfect disciple, I'm a better disciple when I look at the way my pastor lives. You look at the mode of living. I say, I know pastor doesn't like fashion, me I like fashion. No, that's not what we're talking about. That's not what we're talking about. You look at the important things, amen. For example, if your pastor, someone like me now, for example, you don't see me everywhere, writing everybody, correcting everybody in the body of Christ. If you go to my social media, I don't know if it's social. My social media, I don't know, I don't. I have over 1,000 requests on Instagram, I think. And I keep telling, I don't know what they are requesting to follow me for. Because I don't post anything. What are you looking for? Like Jesus asked them, what do you seek? A reed shaking in the wind? Those with beautiful attires are in the palace. I'm not a celebrity. I don't plan to be one. Amen. I wrote on Facebook some years ago, about 12 years now, thereabout. I said, it's a shame for any pastor who wants to be a celebrity. Now, I will not write that again. Amen. Because it does not concern me. It does not what? It does not concern me. Who call me? My own job is to feed the flock. Is to instruct us here. But Paul says, the writer of Hebrews says, follow after your own pastor's conversation. Whose word you hear? Yeah, the word of God. Who speaks the word of God to you? Follow after their faith. And the end of their lifestyle. So that means there are some who have the rule over you. Look at verse 17 now. Obey them that have the rule over you. And submit yourselves for the watch for your souls. A lot of Christians do not understand this. Watch for your souls. And I pray that you will not understand it the wrong way. Amen. For they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you. So the writer of Hebrews gives you an hint that the account that Jesus is going to ask of you is not just your own. He's going to ask your pastor, your cell leader. Say, Lillian, what do you think about our ministry? So because of the kind of work I do, I sometimes tend to write references for a lot of people. I still wrote one today. Sometimes we want to travel out to job references. I wrote one to New Zealand today. And so I scared one. I said, they sent me your reference and all that. And I put there that you are not trustworthy. the way you attend to your patients. I'm not sure you're thorough. But I now ended, I told you, I now ended it with, but he can give you a try. So he said, so, Pastor, now why? Should I lie? Are you thorough? I'm thorough. Last 2 months, when I told you that, why did you not put this? So, and I went to put it, I said, but you were thorough, I will not be saying it. But of course, I didn't do that to him, amen. I gave him a very good pass. But what am I saying? That's exactly what Jesus is going to ask. Reference. Brother, oh well. Sorry, Pastor. And I said, Jesus, I've been waiting for this time. Since you have been judging, I don't even get interest. This one, we live here. This brother Michael, Pastor, would judge me. Amen. This brother Isaac, again, he says that they might give account for your souls. It's an int into life eternal. Amen. The question is, who gives account for the one that does not have a pastor? Because there, you know, when they tell you in an interview, those of you that stay here, has it happened to you before? It's very frustrating. All of you that don't have, don't worry, we'll attend to you. It's a lie. You can get his hate, still hate me. Don't worry, attend to you. Just stay here first. Don't worry, you can go out, you can stroll out. Amen. So it says, the church is also for oversight. So it's for growth, for the perfection of the saints, but till we come to knowledge, remember, right? The knowledge of the Son of God. Ephesians 4:13. Then it's also say for oversight. So that there are people that are in charge of you. Oversight. What else? Sorry. Look at Acts 20. So there are people that have the rule over you. They watch for your souls. That's what it said. Strong word. And that's why I love the way the white garments churches used to put it. I grew up with a very conservative background, so I'm an old school when it comes to faith and hymns and all that. I'm old school. And so the white diamond churches, they call it Abu. They say, Mualabi Abu. Have you heard it before? Maybe you have heard it before if you're Yoruba. Now, Abu means covering. So you say, Olusho. You know, just the old timer thing. Olusho shepherds. That's what they call their pastors. Don't call me Olusho. Amen. Because someone that is young and fine like this. So Olusho. You don't call me shepherd too. I beg. Shepherd. For where? Pastor is enough. Amen. So, Olusho. And there's a spiritual connotation to that. But today, tonight is not the night for that. Amen. Look at Acts 20. Learn something. We're looking at wells without water. So when are we going to get to the well? Soon. Acts 20. So Paul went to Ephesus and he taught them for 3 years and a half, thereabout. And he was leaving. So he was talking to the elders there when he was leaving. Verse 28. Then he says, take heed to yourselves and to the flock. So he's talking to the pastors. Remember? This is their function. Take it to yourselves and to the flock, which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Look at that word. The Holy Ghost made you to oversee it. To feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. So he says, the Holy Ghost made you overseers to these ones. So the church of God is where we have that overseeing, that covering. Are you with me? The church of God is where we have that covering. See, I'm covered. You're not sure? Alright, so we are made for that. So, when you now see this, so God's plan is the church, that we are all together for, to be fed. Abi? Come on, to be fed, to be perfected. To come in the knowledge of the unity of the faith, right? For oversight. But I told you before, I said, everywhere you see the building of the church or the budding of the church, what do you see close to it? The gates of hell. Thank you. It's your opposition. You're a politician. Opposition. Peter Obi. Alright. So, what you see is the gates of hell. And the gates of hell manifests itself in different ways. It could be persecution. I had to sign a petition today. I some of you should, on a lady that is going for Sharia, hearing today. She converted from Islam to Christianity. So they are, the plan is to be there. And we have cases like that all over the world. In fact, in this country, that's just Zamfara. I was sharing with my wife how I was talking to a senior minister in the north. And of course I plan to go do missions there alone first, and then we'll go as a church. Amen. So if I come back, then we'll go as a church. I can't just take you people there. I'll first go alone. So if I come back, I'll come back. Don't worry. Amen. The pastor, don't go. So I was talking to that senior minister. He's a very senior minister. He's been in the north for over 35 years. He was talking about how the beheading is, he said, is normal. This is what is being done. I'm going to bring him by God's grace. Amen. We're going to be like a soul winners conference. So that the passion for evangelism can be steered. He was telling me, he said, some of the things you practice in this house. He said, I don't even know whether that's Christianity. He was showing me a video of, you know, where believers are jumping in the church. And he said, if we have 8 hours to meet, he said, jumping will not be part of it. So we don't even have enough time like that. I remember there was a time I was talking to a minister in China too. He's a Ghanaian. I'm interested in missions. That's why. I'm very, very invested in missions. Like, you know, I'm a part of Christ for All Nations. Renai Bonnke, now Daniel Kulenda Ministries. I'm a strong part of it. But the devil rears his head, that ugly head, to persecute everywhere you see the Church of Christ. Sometimes, what he also does is, he creates counterfeits. Don't forget, we said, God's plan for the church, for the believer, is to be where? In his house, right? Huh? David says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's saying that for all of us. God's plan is forever. In his house. But when the devil sees that God is building that through your life, through my life, one of the things he does is persecution. And so persecution, they are baby persecutions. My mommy said, that's not persecution. I don't know. No. If it's about that one, we don't go to that one. Don't come home. Don't come home. But I should go for the meeting. But if I go for the meeting, I should not come home. Okay? That's not persecution. That one is testing. Say testing. In fact, someone that told me one time, he said, thank God he didn't listen to us. I think I've shared it before. Thank God he didn't listen to us. Now we are listening to GHC Media. And they are teaching from GHC Media. Amen. And those are the people that said, no, Pastor, Nigeria. Is this what it is? Amen. When you see persecution, you will know. You are not the one that will say persecution. When you see persecution, the word persecution will not come to your mouth. Because you are under persecution. Amen. My daddy will talk. That's not persecution. Talk. Not kill you. I mean, there are people who... But the pastor was sharing out that he saw his member bearded. Imagine someone you know. They took off the head and you can see the head on the floor. He said, and they were looking for him. He had to hide himself for about 3 months where they were giving him food through the window. And people were coming in batch to hear message. So his members would gather at the window. I think 10-10. And then he would share. Then he would go and call the next people. That was how he was preaching. They could not meet. Because if he dares go to the church, and then you wonder, what kind of Christianity are you practicing? All the time in the world, all the leverage in the world, I'm so busy. There's something we must close in the office. You stand on the same line to be judged by Christ with those who have given him everything they have. Amen. So, the devil uses persecution to derail our being in the house of the Lord. Another thing he now uses is also counterfeit. He raises counterfeits everywhere. Fakes. That's what counterfeit means. Fake. And there are people who no longer go to church because they are fake churches. Have you met anyone like that before? Anyone? Yeah. If especially if you are in the very intellectual environment, you know, people, church art, they've been hurt in the time past, you know, someone has done something to them in the church. So now, they don't go to church, but they go to hospital. Even though they are fake hospitals. Are there no fake hospitals? Was there one doctor like that that they caught that he was practicing? He never went to any medical school. Amen? Are there no fake schools? Some of you went to some fake universities. But Pam, I'm not mentioning your university, don't worry. But if the shoe fits, hallelujah. There's fake universities. But you have fake schools, fake drugs, medication, not fake medication. You know, they had to burn down a market, but I don't know if they burnt it, I don't know, but closed down the market. They even did in Lagos, in Mushin there, closed down the entire market because they were selling fake things. But the next time you need a flagyl and your stomach is doing, will you say, fake flagyl is out there. I'm not going to buy any flagyl. No. No. You still trust again. Planes have crashed and people still bought them. So your fight is not against the fake. You just never loved the original. Or you never felt you needed it. Myself and Boshola and Stagi were somewhere on Monday. And we saw a church. What was it again? A church for non-church goers. Only. You say, you call them non-church goers. You can't say you don't open church. Fine. And before I judge, the intention might be pure. But as I look at that face with that poster, go call it offering. just kidding. I beg, if you are the one and by somehow you stumble on this message, I'm looking at the camera, I beg. I joke. I don't have the strength to fight. I have the strength to preach. Amen. So it's not an excuse because they are fakes. The devil only rears that to deter the believer from being in the house. I've told you before, false prophets is not a modern invention. It has been since the time of Jesus. The devil is creating fakes, counterfeits. And that's why there's a need for discernment in the body of Christ. Okay, we're looking at wells without water, right? There's a need for discernment. To know this apart from this. In fact, the first thing you see in the Bible is, in fact, it's discernment. In Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, tohu bohu, and the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, verse 3, and there was light. Right? Look, can we read verse 4 together? Light was good. Uh-huh. Look at that. And God divided the light from darkness. That's discernment. That separation must happen. You can't call yourself a mature Christian without learning discernment. It's a part of growth. God divided the light from darkness. You must know this is dark. You must know this is light. Genesis 1 opens up with that. God divided the light from darkness. In Romans 12, Paul says to the church in Rome, says in Romans 12 verse 9, he says, don't repay evil with evil. Right? Let's go there. He's talking about evil and good. Sorry, it's not my notes. So, Pastor, you don't know it. Sorry. Romans 12. You too. You don't know it. Say it. Romans 12 verse 9. Yeah. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave unto that which is good. Let your love be without dissimulation. Romans 12 verse 9. That was correct. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. That means I must know what is evil. Are you getting that? I must know what is good. Discernment is part of the Christian faith. James speaks about two kinds of wisdom. He said there's a wisdom that is from above. He said there's a wisdom that is earthly, sensual, devilish. He calls that pride, bitterness, envy, strife. Abi? He says, so I must know two kinds of wisdom. When I see something, I must say, no, this is not from God. This is not from God. Are you listening to me? Look at Ephesians 4 that we read earlier. Excuse me. Ephesians 4, were there earlier? Are you there? So, well, after he said he gave apostles and all of that, right? He says for the perfecting of the saints in verse 12, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come into the unity of the faith, right? unto a perfect man, to the knowledge of the Son of God. Abi? Good. Verse 14, can we verse 14 together? By the slave of men. So, he says, there is something like toss to and fro. There's something like deception. Why do we now have the local church? So that we will not be carried about. To learn discernment. To learn how to stay. Only a baby puts everything in his mouth. Are you listening to me? Only a baby puts everything in his mouth. Say, if he's, no, there are some folks you talk to and then you wonder if they have any brain cell. Someone who is the wealthiest man in the world comes to you and tells you not everything is money. Then you say, let me first have the money first. Freezer kind of IQ. Freezer level. Amen. Some people say, hey, if everything is not food, let me first test it. When it's not food, I will now remove it. Have you heard of poison? There's something called poison. Even if you remove it, it is poison. Only a baby puts everything in his mouth. The proof that you are growing older is that you recognize this is food. This is not food. This is toy. This one, I see skull, cannot be food. Amen. So you tell baby, Jojo. Have you told the baby Jojo before? And they see fire. Yeah, I didn't know the kind of house you came from. How did they see fire? From where? How did your baby get to the kitchen? Oh, no candle, it's fine. I mean, no, me too. They used to put on candle in our house. Amen. Growing up, in fact, I used to use candle to read. When it gets to a particular point, I know you mark the candle. You didn't do that. You mark the candle. When it gets here, I go to sleep. You see people call it getting a 190 something in jump. You wonder what kind of country we are in now. Amen. I mean, the failure among us was the one getting 220. And we say, guy, you're finished. Finito. Your life. Barry. I say 220. Now, if this generation, 220, they will put it on flyer. The Lord has done it finally. That we henceforth be no more tossed to and fro. So discernment is part of growth. As you grow older, you now begin to know, this is not food. You know, there's something someone can give it to you now. You won't put it in your mouth. But you call, give it to Tamilore. Tamilore is how old now? 6 months. So give it to Biro. She holds it. And the next thing is to test if it's food. Even though some of you are doing it now. Biro's in your mouth. Fine. Amen. But you cannot be hungry and one day you look at through your house and the next thing you see is Biro and you say, okweo, okweo. We need to call a doctor. Amen. Doctor might not be able to solve it. We need to lay hands on you. Amen. Now, another part of growing up is not that now recognizing that Bible is not food. He's now seeing food and saying, I can't eat this food. Because maybe it was not cooked in the right environment. So, that's another level of maturity. Now say, not all rice is rice. I ate one rice one time. I regret. This one is not go home and start feeling it. It's on the spot. Satya Diaraba. Imagine. Me say fine. I said all the food on campus. I was tired. Because I never cooked. I was always buying food. So I was tired of, I know every corner in Lut where they sell food. From that one close to Mushin Gate, that staff use to there's something where they call poison zone. You know poison zone? God bless you. God bless you. Poison zone. No, that's not where I got skinny. Poison zone is good though. Poison zone is good. I don't know why they call it poison zone. The palladium there is mad. So I said I was tired. So I went into the dealer by itself. Like David said, I need water. Go and fetch me. As the woman was serving it, Adja, as she was serving it, the salmon is not kicking. Atenu je, atenu. I just look at the saliva. How many more? I say, put one more. Put 4 meat. You have round about. Put one. You have fish. Say round fish. I don't take round fish. Say Titus. Put 2. I was buying everything. As I got to the room. As I took 1. It's sweet, oh. 2, 3. Flagging over, power gifts, straight, amen. So discernment is now me seeing an environment where they are putting their car and say, nah, some of you don't mind. I know. Get discernment in Jesus' name. So part of maturity is now knowing that even if it is food, is it clean? Is it making sense? We'll get there. This is not about rice. Amen. Even if it is food, do they serve a balanced diet here? Because food is not what makes you grow. It's when you take a balanced diet. Else, there will not be something called kwashiorkor and scurvy. Is it making sense? There must be certain ingredients that gives growth. So, we said part of growing up in the Christian faith is discernment. Abi? Discernment of good from evil. False from true. Is it making sense? And Jesus taught this too, especially about false prophets. In Mark 8, he told them, he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. In Mark 8:15, that scripture, you should know it as a glorious house to remember. Because I've taught it that many times. Yeah? We taught it, you are not led by the fear of man, right? Ah, you have forgotten that teaching? Okay. It's one of my favorites, actually. And I didn't teach the part I like most there. The political part. Alright, so he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Jesus was teaching his disciples discernment. Again, in Matthew 7, the one I just said is Mark 8, 15. In Matthew 7, are you learning something? Verse 15 says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Look at verse 20. By their fruit, you shall know them. Amen. Matthew 24. So Jesus warning his own disciples. Can you see that? False prophet is not a modern, it's not a postmodern problem. Yeah, nah, they're just prophets collecting money about. It's not a this day problem. Since the day of Jesus. In fact, since the prophets. We'll look at that much later. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, they all spoke about false prophets. In fact, Moses in Deuteronomy spoke about false prophets. We'll look at that much next week. Matthew 24. For there shall arise, verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders. So it's not like these guys will write it on their foreheads, false. In fact, anybody that writes false on their forehead is probably not false. Nobody wants to serve poison and then they write poison on it. No. They serve poison in Vichy chocolate. I love Vichy chocolate a lot, and you all know that. So if someone wants to serve me poison and you serve it in garden egg, I don't take garden egg. Amen. I don't know what you take in it. I don't know what you see in it. I don't like it. I can't say I will never like it. I've said that about watermelon before. Now I take it. I've said about cucumber. I take it now. Amen. But I can't take it. No. I take it with salad. Amen. Understand? You understand? Oh, just salad. The kuru. Alright, so imagine if you now give me garden egg, then you garnish it with poison. Be sure, I'll not take it. But if you inject something inside Vichy chocolate, now, I'm not giving you an idea. But if you inject something inside Vichy chocolate, be sure that I might take it. Because God will talk to me, amen, and I'll not take it. Hallelujah. But the probability that the poison will get there is high. Why? I like it. There are things you like too, right? And so, anyone who wants to poison you, you have to serve it. Is it making sense? So that's the idea you must have for false prophets. It looks real. It looks true. But it calls them wolves in sheep's clothing. What you're seeing is a sheep. But what is attacking you is a wild. You have discernment in the name of Jesus. Look at Acts 20. We read that earlier. Acts 20. Where Paul was talking to the elders in Ephesus. It says, who the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Acts 20 verse 28. Take it therefore unto yourselves and unto the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing, Paul is saying, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Look at that. He says, even among yourselves, forget the wolves that are coming from outside. Among yourselves, some people will rise up to draw away disciples after them. They will speak perverse things. They will say things about pastor. You know, the pastor is not really... I even come and tell you that, pastor, I'm the one that is teaching him word. I still sat him down last week. Tell him that message you preached that last week. Who preached that? Amen. There are people here, right here, seated. You know, you guys are teachers. Amen. Amen. You know, respond amen again. You guys are teachers, great teachers of the word. Have you heard Brother David teach before? He breaks the word. May you not break the word. I like the way he breaks the word. He will break word you and teach the word. Amen. So again, he says, they will arise among you saying perverse things. They'll say things about leadership, say things about that. We don't know. Let's create our own church. Our church of the non-church goers. Church of church ought. Church of those that have been ought. Amen. The same perverse things will draw away disciples after themselves. Say, but beware. When the Bible tells you beware, you had better beware. Galatians 1, Paul says, I am marveled that verse 6, that you are soon moved away from the gospel of Christ, from he that has saved you, to another gospel, which is not another. But there are some that perverse you. They pervert the gospel. Amen. Look at First John 4. I'll show you something. I'll close soon. 1 John 4. Wells without water. 1 John 4. Verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Interesting. Because many false prophets are gone out in the world. Look at how John puts it, and that's very weighty for me. He calls it beyond preaching. He calls it beyond auditorium. He calls it spirit. Meaning that for every sermon you listen to, something is communicated. It's a spirit. That makes it very interesting. He said, it's a spirit. You'd have thought, John would say, beware of, don't believe every sermon. Don't believe every advice. He said, don't believe every spirit. Because that's exactly what it is. Every word, song, spirit. And so one way or the other, we catch that spirit. Catch that spirit. That's why, if you listen so long to a pastor, let's say to me, for example, you get to some point, you catch yourself talking like that. Or even if you don't talk like that in your everyday living, maybe teaching like that. I remember I went to, say, a dear friend who was holding a program in Ibadan. And I was relative there. So, I saw him laying hands. He's a bit younger than I am. A bit. Just about 3 years. So I saw him laying hands. And I saw the way he was doing it. So after the meeting, we were done and all that. So we were walking. Because he got me a taxi. So we're walking to the taxi. And he said, did you see how I was laying hands? That he saw the video. He just showed him now. That, is that not how I do it? I said, I don't think so. But I don't want it to be so. Amen. But it must not be so. He told me, you wanted me to lay hands again? I'm talking about laying hands. I'm not saying I want to lay hands. You know, so he said, he literally have watched me lay hands multiple times. And he didn't know when he started doing like that. I've seen some of you preach before. If a lot of you, you're rejoicing, you just copy and paste. Amen. There's someone rejoicing like he's doing reverse meeting. I said, you got that from me. And it's not like I practice my rejoicing, but that's the way I rejoice. I like to shout, I go ball. Amen. I don't know, people have formalized rejoicings. That's a fool. Don't be a fool. What a fool, man. What should I? But are you actually joyful like that? If that's your joy, no offense, that's good, fair enough. But is that your joy? Like, if they transfer 100 million naira right now to your account, will you do? Be sincere. We actually do glory. You know, you know. So next time you're rejoicing, rejoice. Amen. Paul, John calls it spirit. Believe not every spirit. So sometimes someone came to me one time and said, there's this assumption from my cell leader that we should not listen to another pastor. Another. He said, Pastor, is it true? And I said, it's way beyond what you think. It's not about, oh, nobody wants you to hear another person. But there are altars that are not of God. And there are spirits that are not of God. Say, but Pastor, actually, he's the gospel. It is rice. Amen. Selah. The parable don't click, Abby. It is rice. But the purge. It's not stone. It's not biro. It's food. But was not cooked in the right environment. John says, there are different sorts of spirits. It's a deception of the devil to create counterfeits. And the issue with counterfeits is that if counterfeit looks fake, then it's not a counterfeit. One conductor, I remember one time like that, I was in school. So I was going from Ujelegba to Idiaraba. So the conductor gave me change as we were getting to, I've forgotten that name, Lawan, I've forgotten the name of those places. So he gave me change. I saw the 100 naira, Omo. You want to be a whole lot. Ojuku is 100 naira. I was a whole lot with HIV. I said, what is this? Because it was night. So he said, me, night. How much do I have in my account? I put flashlight. What is this? I'm one now. That's a counterfeit. A counterfeit, you will take it home. That's the idea you must have about false prophets. They actually counterfeit. I'll close with 2 Peter 2. So it's the duty of the pastor to actually point out counterfeits. The devil will try to create counterfeits because he knows that poison is worse than hunger. With hunger, there's hope to feed again. With poison, it destroys the entire system totally. You will not be destroyed. In 2 Peter chapter 2, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destructions. And many shall follow their pecunious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Even through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. He's already telling you what false prophets will look like. With covetousness, they will with feigned words make merchandise of you. That is, you will be their product. You will drop things. Amen. You will drop bar. Whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not. Then he goes to verse 13. No. He was talking about angels. Verse 14. Having eyes full of adultery. And that cannot cease from sin. Beguiling unstable souls. And acts that they have exercised with covetous practices. Cursed children. Peter was vexed, you know. Which are forsaken the right way. They've gone astray. Following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor. When you hear the way of Balaam, that's covetous, that's greed. Balaam collected money to curse Israel. Is it making sense? Eh? But Israel cannot be cursed. Amen. You will not be cursed. Amen. Following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of righteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass, speaking with the man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water. Clouds that are carried with a tempest. To whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. So, Peter too was vexing. Play for me as a close. That there are folks who are wells without water. And I'll point to you out that this must have been a teaching of Jesus. Because Jude said the same thing. Literally, wells without water. In a sense, he puts clouds without water. And when you see apostles teaching the same thing like that, of course, it's from a common motive. Amen? It's from the motive of the teaching of Jesus. Amen. Peter calls them wells without water. Have you seen a well before that doesn't have water? Wells are meant to provide water. But Peter says, there's something about these false prophets. They are wells. It's a church, but doesn't have water. About 83% of the time in the New Testament practice where you see the use of water is used for either eternal life or the work of the Spirit. Aside the use of normal water, river water, aside the use of the natural use of water, water was symbolic for eternal life, the gifts of the Spirit, and the Spirit, the giving of the Spirit itself. And Peter says, these false prophets are wells without water. He says they are alluring. Interesting. Interesting words. That means they have this magnet. They have this magnet. It's just you people go there. And you wonder, are you not discerning? Now it's easy for the discern, for the one who is discerning to say, nah. But you watch. And then you wonder, what is this magnet? Again, don't forget, the entire point of the devil is to create counterfeits. If he can keep you 35 years in a place where Jesus is not present, that's a whole lot of good than keeping you outside the church, actually. Because outside the church, we can meet you for outreach. But when in a fake church, I say with all boldness, fake church. But that's exactly what it is. There's no need to, don't worry about what I just said now. There's no need to call out things and say, no, this is a fake church. They are fake churches. It's not the church of Christ. We're going to see what makes the church of Christ, because it's my duty to point that out to you. What makes the church of Christ? Peter already gave you one hint. He said, the false prophet and the false teachers among you, they will make merchandise of you. They will give you empty words. With feigned words, they will collect money. Make you a billionaire. The goal of what God called us for in this church is so that we can raise billionaires. No, God didn't call anyone for that. Such a shame. It's a shame, really. See, Jesus never liked poor people. Never visited any poor person. It's a shame on you. Jesus himself was poor. He was called a man of sorrows. He said, there's nothing about him that we could desire. How can everything you go to church for, every day, every service, is about money, money, blow, 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 money, money, blow, 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 money. Every confession is, I'm a billionaire. I'm a billionaire in dollars. I've seen confession, no? I'm a billionaire in dollars. From where? It's like your pastor has not explained to you very well. Is your pastor a billionaire in dollars? The one who gave you the, who wrote the confession, who put it on the screen. The one who typed it from display unit. Nations come to my rising. Are you actually saying that because of the preaching of the gospel? Or you just want people to just beg you? You just like the fact that you want to lord over people. Everybody in your family should come and say, hey, I'll be the best among my family. I don't think that's actually the will of God. Wait, calm down. God has no force, has no issues with your family members. Amen? You will be the best among family. Oh yeah, Omo, you are made it to one be by. What I'm saying, let me say it in English. Oh yeah. Sister Missis is in this church. In case you don't know, Bropam is Sister Missis' elder brother. Yeah. Both of them will be the best in their family. Oh yeah, let the best man win. I don't think that when you look at what God is doing in the body of Christ globally and what God wants to do through the life of the believer, money ranks the least. It's way beyond money. But what will a false preacher convince you of? You're about to blow. For someone that can say amen, if your amen can be louder than your neighbor, why do you hate my neighbor? Imagine you are sitting beside Bray Wyatt. See, if your amen can be louder than your neighbor, just stand up. His voice. He has a microphone. Amplifier day. Subwoofer day. He doesn't have kidneys, subwoofer. Left hand on the right. His amen will be louder than yours. What's the poor here now? I just want to look for someone like Stan Missy that cannot shout. My neighbor. Say neighbor, I'll be richer than you. in the church of Christ. I think those priorities are misplaced. Even if you are not fake, you are tending towards the way. It's called the way of Balaam. It's a way. You might not have reached destination, but you're on the path. Driver has started trip. Amen. On the way of Balaam, you have started trip. It's a trip of greed. A lot of believers are falling into that ditch every day. It's all about money. It's all about what I can achieve. What about what the Holy Ghost wants to do? How many souls have you saved? How many people have actually left Islam for Christianity because of you? Those are the recurrences of heaven. Those are the real things that count. Beware of false prophets. With faint and empty words. Say they are alluring. That is the deadly part. In fact, the way Paul told Timothy, he says, teach the word. The instant he says, because there will be a time men will heap up for themselves, false teachers, 2 Timothy chapter 4. They will heap up to themselves, false teachers, having itchy ears. That means that time will come where people will have itchy ears. There's something they want to hear. Some people, what they want to hear in church every time is relationship. To be married to uncle, what else? Adam and Eve, there's nobody if not used. Adam and Eve, Abraham and Sarah. Which one again? Oh, you have experience. Ruth and Boaz. Thank you. What else again? That's all. That's all you want to hear. So you know what? The day, I remember the day myself and mommy Gio. What's that? Christ didn't send you that. Of course, we have to teach the whole counsel of God. But when you get to a time where you discover that, oh, people are actually listening to us because we are teaching Ruth and Boaz. So Ruth and Boaz, part 1, part 2, part 3, part 4, part 5, part 6, part 7. Ruth and Boaz. Chon look at Jesus. Ruth and Boaz. Even Ruth in heaven saying, eh? Person they teach me reach this. Say, Adam and Eve. Say, because you took me out of man. See your wife, eh? She can take anything from you because you took me out of you. Adora darling, so jarry. Eve was sin. It's like we're not opening our eyes enough. Of every example of marriage, you went to pick the people that ate the fruit the way God said me they know it. That example is flawed already. It's on the floor. You are saying the origin of this marriage is going to end up in disobedience. Tell your wife, say you are my Eve. See, trust me. What's this? We start looking at the markers. What makes the body of Christ? What makes the church of God? Jesus said it himself. His apostles gave us. He gave us the landmarks. And that's why when you see people like Bro Billy Akoni, when they talk with so much, sometimes with so much ghost. I've heard that man before. I said, hey, what is my... He's angry. He started calling names. There are men of God like that in Nigeria. Yes, I said, Baba Dibinu. Because sometimes it is painful. Because the harvest is too much. The laborers are few. The laborers that are few are listening to Adam and Eve. The laborers that were meant to push through the harvest, they are busy. They want to be billionaires. But Jesus never gave anyone the mandate to be a billionaire. It's good. Money is good. I want you all to have money. Amen. Surplus. Enough. Amen. But that cannot be your primary goal as a Christian. We will spend billions. It's good. I want to spend billions. Don't you? I'm a man of dollars. Well, you are dollars. I'm a billionaire in Bitcoin. Can a church be teaching Bitcoin? I am not assuming. Motirio. I have seen it. Bitcoin. Forex. Those of you that are doing Forex. Forex, that's whatever. You cannot concentrate in believers meeting. Why? Red. You're seeing red. That's gone down. See, yeah. I see. Mountains. Four. our personal endeavors do not get into the body. The body of Christ is for God's church. Are you listening to me? Great. We're going to see a lot of things next weekend. Come on. What is the Holy Ghost doing? The church is not just a social chat, a social club. A man of God one time, someone brought disciples to church. And he was asking, I've shared with leaders before. He said, no, these are not the kind of souls we win. He said, we win quality souls. What do you mean by quality souls? What do you mean by quality souls? Apparently, he's talking about young, educated people, people who are into finance, investment banking, oil and gas, energy industry, banking, well, health, they are not even health, health. Because they're willing health. Because they're willing health, forget that. Politics, you know. Young honorable. Those are quality souls. And my hands were on my head. Quality souls. What does that mean? Jesus wept. Quality souls. And there are churches like that. If a poor man walks in, he feels out of place. Because, Ojo Makofi Weno, and he that your shoe is the shoe of the gospel of peace. It's for the Jews and the Gentiles. You are laughing. You are laughing. If the person has money, will you not mend it? Amen. You are still laughing. You see, that's the issue. That's the issue with the shoe. So when you see that in the church, what do? You are the one that goes to the person. You know. This is your shoe. Let us mend it. Amen. Let's mend it. If what you need is cash to mend it, this is it. And then when you have money to buy on that one for the person, you do that. But if I'm looking down on such people, there are places, there are churches you can't go if you don't have a car. You don't know. Hey, Omo. Prophet, tell them now. I didn't say you have gone there. You have not gone there. But we know this thing, so. You are on a call like this. Park there. Park far from church. Because Bentley is coming. Lambo is coming. Rolls Royce. Chrysler. Amen. You know those Lexus that you're saying you like Lexus. Lexus is a park far. You like use your park far. But that's not the Church of Christ. Mm-hmm. Wolves in sheep clothing. We are going to see a lot of. Not just money. There are places where the loss of the flesh is intentionally glorified and not corrected. Members are sleeping with one another and the church is saying nothing. Okay. Let us talk. Let's something.